Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rubcast. I've now a guest, Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for inviting me.
Brian is from Mexico, so that's why we talk in English. His mother-in-law saw me on the television, and he contacted me, and now we see each other.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So it's a very close by for me. That's nice. And could you tell me, who were you for your accident?
Hey, Ruben, thank you for inviting me. And yes, I'm a stroke survivor. I'm 34 years old. I got the stroke 3 weeks before I turned 33. Yeah. And the person that I've always been during that period was a very healthy person.
Yeah.
I did a lot of sports. I used to run during a period in my life every morning from Monday to Saturday.
Yeah.
I also played football at a really semi-professional level.
Really?
In Mexico.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I even got to play with a teammate, became professional, Hector Herrera.
Yeah.
He even won the gold medal at the Olympics once.
That was crazy.
And yeah, I ate really healthy. I had my first sip of alcohol when I was 24. The last sip when I was 33. Just in case, whatever life is, that right?
You don't drink anymore?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a sip. I thought whatever is thrown at me in life, I'd rather just choose the other.
A healthy life. You want to recover
as much as I can. And I always like nature. I like going for walks, just doing outdoorsy sports, mountain biking as well. And that's pretty much the person I was before. And I moved to the Netherlands just because I ended up doing as well a PhD in physics.
Yep.
Met my wife. She's Dutch from Friesland. And then we moved south for work. I work in the high-tech area, but that's the reason we're also living here in the southern part of the country. And so far, we really like it.
Yeah. And you told me you were from Mexico.
Yeah.
And do you see your family a lot?
Yes, I go home at least usually once a year.
Yeah.
I visit Mexico and also visit the U.S. In the northwest of the U.S. and the central part of Mexico. And after my stroke, this coming May is the first time that I'm going home. So it's going to be really an emotional visit because back in the beginning, in the early stages, acute phase of the stroke, I saw that this probably would never come this moment. And now it's a couple of weeks away. So I just can't wait to get on that plane. And the moment that it will land, it will be, I think, quite emotional.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
I felt kind of nervous a couple of weeks ago. I thought of it a bit. But given that now it's also medically safe for me to go on a plane,
yeah,
because of the pressure of being on the plane, now I feel more like just excited about getting on that plane.
Nice. It's safe to go.
Yes.
No, way better.
When you hear that the experts say it's safe, then you feel better about it.
Yeah, it's way better. You aren't nervous anymore. That really helps.
Exactly. Totally.
And you told me you have a PhD. Did you study here?
Yes, that's the reason I ended up moving to the Netherlands in 2017. I moved to Groningen.
Yeah.
And that's where the PhD in physics. And I got a girlfriend that then later on became my wife.
Yeah. You met her there.
Yeah. We met in Groningen. She's from Friesland. And later on, yeah, like you said, we ended up moving here south because of my job. Yeah. And I also started learning a bit of Dutch. Talking with my in-laws and stuff, and also with now and then I practice a little bit with my wife, but mainly via just watching programs on NPO.
Yeah, I noticed that I could talk in Dutch before the podcast, and you understand it really well.
Yeah, the receptive skills are pretty all right because I watch quite a bit of seasons of Ik Vertrek and Rusuk Vrouw.
It works really well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. You sport a lot. You did soccer and you ran.
Yes. Yes. I did a lot of sports. Physical activity was my thing, my hobby.
Yeah.
Football was really a big thing when I was in middle school, high school, and up to my bachelor's. And on the side, also running. That was my main thing during the bachelor's. And then I continued to run until I ended up getting the stroke. I used to run like 3-4 times a week.
You were really healthy before your stroke.
An extremely healthy lifestyle. The last thing that I thought that I would have would be something like stroke related or heart attack related. The only things that ever crossed my mind was like, what if one day I'm biking and a truck runs me over, right? But I never thought that I would lay.
Did your body doesn't work anymore?
Exactly. I never thought that I'd be in a hospital because of something that is usually associated with and healthy lifestyle, right? I had no clue about these things.
That's before, so crazy.
And it opened up a new world for me.
And did you notice your stroke?
The moment that it happened, Ruben, what I usually do is I run to a industrial area. There is quiet, and I like that when I run. I don't want a lot of cars or stuff around me. So I run there, and the moment that I turn around and go back home, I run the same path backwards. I heard something that imploded in me. And the moment, the seconds after that thing, that sound that imploded, I didn't feel much pain. I went to a full stop. I stopped running, and I started walking because I heard that noise. It kind of scared me. And then I realized, oh, there's nothing going on. I felt fine. So I tried to run again to go home. And the moment that I sprint, I felt so much pain down through my spine. Like a needle type of pain.
No.
You know, like really that, really sharp pain. That's when I noticed, oh, there's something going on with me. But I immediately thought that it had something to do with my intestines because I started to throw up.
Yeah.
And I also had eaten a mandarin before I left running. So I started to blame the mandarin. I wish it would have been just a stomach issue with the mandarin.
Way better.
And what happened, Ruben, I ended up walking home. So I walked almost a little over 4 kilometers with a stroke. No. And what I noticed towards the halfway after like the second kilometer, I wasn't able to verbalize what I wanted to say. I was trying to ask for help to bystanders. There were bikers, people walking close to me, and they would stare at me, but I couldn't really try to say something.
No.
That's when I noticed something really bad is happening, but still nothing crossed my mind that I was having a stroke.
It was so crazy.
Maybe I wasn't so well informed of like what the signs of a stroke are.
Yeah.
And that's why.
You're young. You don't know that.
Well, you think it's something for elderly people or stuff. And I ended up bumping into a house.
No.
Because I took a detour to, since I was throwing up a lot, I didn't want to make a mess in front of the other houses. And that's where I kind of got lost, and a neighbor helped me. And then they took me in their house. And that's how that journey started. Then they sent me to the hospital.
That's so great.
Yes.
And what actually happened to you?
So what happened, I did have a bleeding in the brain, unfortunately. And that's what caused the stroke. When you get a brain bleed, there's an interruption of the oxygen, and then you get this, the Hersen bleeding. Yeah. And that's... And that's pretty much what unluckily happened in my situation. It was a bleeding type of stroke.
Yeah. Do you know end of the day?
Yes. So when I was in the hospital, the last thing I recalled is that I knew that I was running when it happened.
Yeah.
But all this info that I gave you of that I walked back home, that I heard something implode in me, and then I started to feel like needle pain.
Yeah.
I started also to see colors, like a bit of purplish, like when you fall on your butt and you feel dizzy. I started to see that type of color. All this stuff was gone. I couldn't recall any of it. It came back months later when I went to that spot where it happened. I was reserving that moment for later. I wasn't ready to go to the place where I got a stroke at a young age. I got the stroke on October, and I went to that place in January. So months later. And the moment I went there, I started walking with my wife the way back.
Nope.
It all came back.
So crazy.
The only thing that was missing from that journey is the moment when I got into my neighborhood. That part was kind of missing of the story.
Huh?
And that came back when I walked through that path again, approximately 8 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not that long ago.
I remember that I walked into a house of someone because I started to lose balance. I wasn't able to walk much. Like my legs were becoming really heavy. And I thought, what's happening? Like my body's collapsing. So there was this person that I didn't know, a neighbor there at the time, and he was sitting in his garden, and he thought in the beginning that I was possibly drunk or something, but he says, but this guy has a running outfit, so most likely he's not drunk, but he can't talk much. So they were a bit concerned that something's happening with his brain or his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, they call the ambulance, but it took like 2 hours for the ambulance to show up. So in the meantime, they called a friend that is a doctor that lives in the neighborhood.
Oh, that's
for giving me assistance. They checked my blood pressure and everything. Even my blood pressure was fine during the moment. So they couldn't tell what was happening. But fortunately, they took care of me until the ambulance showed up. And then later on, they discovered, unfortunately.
And how did you felt when you visited this place?
The day that I visited that, the first day that I went there, it was extremely emotional to see them, the place where your life could have changed completely. And during those months, it did change completely.
No.
It was really confronting to go. I wasn't ready until one day, and I thought, first I went on my own. A couple of days later, I went with my wife, and I showed her exactly what had happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's better that you have someone nearby you.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Especially for those moments where things, the influence of emotions, when they take over, it's nice to have someone.
That's so hard.
Love also there. What's one thing that I also noticed to help yourself recovering from these situations is holding on to those people that really, truly care about you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we all think about those things. But until you live something like this, you really realize what that means, what that feels like,
mm-hmm.
with people that truly care about you.
Yeah. It's better to feel safe.
Yes, exactly.
And how did your recovery look like?
Well, Ruben, it's quite the journey. The toughest journey to recover from. We had to climb Mount Everest.
Yeah, it was so good.
Without wanting to. In the early stages, I was cluttered with the fatigue and with the stress of, am I going to be able to go back to where I was before? Will I be able to have a job? Will I do sports? Because my hobbies are sports. Can I do sports again?
Uh-huh.
Usually when you have a stroke, it's difficult to do sports, right? Because you can lose mobility.
Are you nervous when you are doing sports?
Actually, in the early stages and the first weeks when I started the rehabilitation, I would get a bit tense, especially with cardio-related activities, like warming up on the bike or lifting weights that were a bit heavier.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought, like, am I going to get another...
Not again.
Yeah, because since I got the stroke when I was running, it was just a coincidence that happened while I was running. It kind of gave me a bit of fear of it, but then I overcame that fear, and I nowadays I'm going twice a week to do sports, so 2 hours a week. So I just see sports like I've always seen it before the bleeding, like something really healthy for your life,
mm-hmm.
and that's how it is at the moment.
Does it work for you, your sports?
I think that going to the physiotherapy and doing physical activity is the main thing that has helped me recover to the extent that I've been able to.
Yeah.
Doing those exercises that I do there have helped me with my balance and also to regain strength in my body. I think it's also the psychological part. It helps a lot. It distracts you. When you do a sport, you have these burst of endorphins, you know, like the runner's higher that I feel when I come back home. I feel at ease and happy with myself, because when you have a stroke at this age, and I think you could relate as well, you get a bit of this post-stroke depression.
Yeah.
And that wasn't nice, and I was able to overcome it through sports.
This really helps.
Going for walks in the park and eating healthy.
You understand your body better, and you understand what you can do and what you're going to do. It works very well.
Exactly, and like which exercises you can do to prove a certain, if you would have lost mobility or if you felt. What I did feel in the beginning with my body is that my left foot was kind of slightly curling. I don't know how real it was or if it was just simply a...
With your left side, you're in your side.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt that was slightly affected, but now it's back to where it was. Also, in the beginning, I felt that my eyesight was affected.
Yeah.
And then I started using glasses to compensate. And one day I went for a walk and I thought, oh, I don't want to carry the glasses. So I went without the glasses. And like out of nowhere, I blinked. And my eyesight was just like before. Just
your brain knows what it has to do, and it works again. So crazy.
I've read that I think they even call those type of recoveries when it happens so spontaneously, that like the spontaneous recovery, like out of nowhere, bang.
Yeah.
And just a split second, like from off to on and done.
That's so crazy. And after your injury, you went to the hospital. And what hospitals did you go to?
So I ended up going here in the one in Weert, the local hospital. That's where they discovered the thing. And then they sent me to Maastricht. And that's where I was during the acute phase, the worst part, the intensive care.
Uh-huh.
worst period of my life. Not a holiday there, but the people treated me so nicely. The caregivers, doctors, nurses were really empathetic towards me. And after that, that's when I went to Adelante for almost 2 weeks. And after Adelante rehabilitation in Hunsbruck, I continued at Libra in Wirt. And that's where I really felt that my recovery started to pick up a lot. Libra really helped me. And then I continued going to the physiotherapy close to the neighborhood where I live. That physio's helping me to an extreme amount. I'm really happy there.
It's so crazy that it goes so fast for you.
Yes.
And what did the mistakes so terrible for you? Is it because of the people of they treated you or because of your injury?
Of the injury, the psychological part, being confronted with life. Like, this happened to you. And the first days I still had the feeling that I was going to wake up and it was going to be just a nightmare. I still had that even after, I think, the first week. I was hoping that you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and it's just a nightmare, this whole story. And like on the second week, that's when I realized, like, no, that's not going to happen.
It's real, man.
You had a stroke, you're young, and let's see how it goes. Yeah, that part I didn't like. It's not nice to be in a hospital when you visit someone that is ill.
No.
But the worst part is when you are the ill person at the hospital. Describing that, I can't even describe it with words. It's the worst thing. It's something that I don't wish it to anybody, independently of the reason. If it's a heart attack or a stroke, being in a hospital is not nice. What I want to do one day is maybe try to do something for hospitals, but that's some plan that I have.
For the fun.
Exactly, or to visit people like the hospice or so on, but visit elderly homes and do something for them, like give them company or something.
And what are you doing now and what are you working on?
So I reintegrated at my work after 10 months of sick leave.
Yeah.
Like I said, the stroke on October of 23, then I reintegrated in August of 24.
Yeah.
And I made it to full-time after 3 months of reintegration.
Showcase.
It was fast, right?
It's so crazy.
So it was quite amazing, that recovery, because I even heard from the company doctor that there had been people on other conditions like a burnout or on long COVID that had been longer on sick leave, mm-hmm. that took them more time to go back to full time after the reintegration process. And I feel that my recovery has been going extremely well. And then, of course, like I mentioned, I did reduce my contract after the full time months. I reduced it to 32 hours. Really, sure. That's my 100%. And I will keep it that way for a while. And the reason is, I want to have more time to do more sports because I really like sports, and that helps me to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also trying to improve my Dutch.
And how do you feel that you work less now?
I feel really good about it. Mm-hmm. The beginning, it felt maybe kind of strange to take that decision, because at this age, we're used to, you work 40 hours, you know, the rat race, you have payments to do, you have to work. And then when I switched, I actually felt good with myself.
Yeah.
And that's connected to also a term that I was introduced during my sick leave. It's called self-compassion. I had never really thought about what self-compassion really entitles you to.
Yeah.
And it's okay sometimes to feel sorry about your own situation.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine to feel, it's good to feel sorry for you, because we went through a lot. And I realized, like, Ryan, why would you push yourself to work 40 hours a week if you can work for 32 and do other things?
And you live again.
And you live again, exactly.
It's not only work, this is way more.
Exactly. And I thought, I like my job, but I also, I like a lot of things outside of my work. Now on Fridays, it's my sports day. I'm mad that I did this.
It's really good here. And do we have advice?
For people that are in a situation like what we went through, like stroke survivors, or any brain-related injury or major health complication, my main learning from this is stick to the people that love you.
Yeah.
And those times, hard times, those are the ones that will there be for you. And also take life step by step. Don't let others push you in doing more than what you should be doing, maybe.
Yeah.
And one thing that I'm really working on, being someone that is more assertive in terms of setting boundaries. One thing that was really unhealthy for me and before that I struggled, I did have a healthy lifestyle. The only thing that was, I can pinpoint that it wasn't healthy in my life was something that I didn't choose for. And that was the stress from my work. I did have a lot of stress from my work. And that's something that I will never allow it to happen again.
It's really important.
It sucks.
It's really cool.
Because when you're in the hospital, you're the one that pays the bill.
Yeah.
No one else. No. There's no way that you can pay or exchange everything that you own to get health. That's not purchasable in this world. So that's one thing that I value my own time more and respect myself more. Setting boundaries. That's the topic.
It's really important.
Oh, yeah.
And do you have goals for the future?
Ruben, that's a really good question. Really, really interesting question. When I came out of the stroke, I felt that I had lost a bit of not hope, but given the situation, the ambition in doing things. I was so focused on recovering and the medical, feeling like an ill person. Six, 7 months later, I start to feel, I think I'm recovering because I start to have ambition again.
Yeah.
I want to go back to work. I want to grow, but I also want to travel. I always like to travel. And I did our first small holiday that I had with my wife was we went to Germany to Freiburg. Yeah. We were going on the train going there. We felt like, oh boy, here it comes. The first travel of after life, not the hair simply. And then we also ended up going a second time to another part in Germany. And now that I'm going in May on my first flight after stroke, going home, going to Smith in Washington, I can't wait to go do a bit of hiking in the woods and going into the nature and just also going back to where you're from. I think will have a nice impact, emotionally speaking, on my recovery.
That's way better. It's good to hear.
Well, thank you very much, Ruben. Really nice to be here with you and also to connect with a fellow with young stroke survivor. Yeah. Was really nice to
it's really nice
to find each other. And yes, I hope that this story also shares a bit of knowledge for other young stroke survivors, or also create awareness and empathy for those that went through a situation like what we went through.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you that you were my guest.
No, thank you for inviting me.